Hello, welcome to the High Performance CEO Podcast, your exclusive access to the winning strategies and leadership habits of high performing CEOs from all over the world. I'm your host, Sebastian Schieke, entrepreneur, CEO mentor, and business angel. Sit back, relax, and don't forget to take notes, because I'm sure you will be able to take many gold nuggets on how to drive your business forward and develop a healthy and thriving work culture for your organization. Welcome to another episode of the High Performance CEO Show. Today, I have Ricardo Mesquita on the show. Ricardo is the founder of WiseVerge, which is a software house, and they help building startups. Ricardo, welcome to the show.
Hello, Sebastian. Thanks for the invitation, for being here.
Great having you here. Can you tell us a bit, what is WiseVerge doing? You help build startups. And on your LinkedIn profile, there are some impressive numbers. You basically helped with your work a $100 million acquisition. You raised a lot of venture capital with your support. So tell us a bit, what are you doing in WiseVerge?
So WiseVerge is a software house. It started as a failed startup in terms of building a product. But we pivoted and we decided to do what we thought that we know how to doing, that's basically build high engineering performance and resilient software. And that's what I've been doing in the last couple of years. We've been focused in helping startups because our culture and the way we work is really agile and nimble. And startups need and like to work with those sort of companies. And that's what we try to do. That's what our engineers like to do and work. And it's basically have been a wild ride. We've been helping a lot of startups raising money with our help building their products. And we are basically a valuable partner for them because we really empower them to build their products and we love to help them.
Interesting. So you basically, the extended workbench of the startups, they ask you if they want to build a software product to help you, help them develop the product, or basically develop the product completely on your own as a white label solution.
Yeah, we work in two ways. One way is the fixed project where, for example, we helped a couple of them raise millions. Like we were the ones that were developing basically their MVP. And they use the MVP to raise money. And then they like our job so much that we are helping building the actual product after that. So we work as a basically team augmentation team. So they have their engineering team and we help them. But we bring our experience and our knowledge of working with a couple of startups in the world. And that's really valuable because you can go faster with working with people that already know what are doing, that already went for scaling problems, for example, of engineering problems. And that's what moves the needle in the startup world when you have to go faster than the others and you have to make less mistakes, doing mistakes, but committing less mistakes. And that's what we've been doing.
Well, I can imagine, I mean, as a startup founder, you have this brilliant idea. You think, okay, I can really solve a problem here. But then you don't have a developer team. You don't have a staff. You don't have the capacity to develop this MVP. And you have two choices. Either you build it up on your own. That means weeks or months of looking for the right people, getting them on board, building a team. Or you just go to someone like Ricardo and say, hey, this is my idea. Help me to develop this MVP, raise our funding, and then we go from there. So it's a typical outsourcing solution. But as you are specialized on startups, you obviously know how they think and what their biggest challenges are. And maybe you can tell us from your experience in the last years, when you talk to startups, what is their biggest pain point?
Most of the time is clarity. Even if they know what sort of product and what sort of problem they are trying to solve, is rather hard. It's a very complex problem to translate their idea in something that's palpable and that's able to do it, to make a software for them to use. And this path is something that we normally also help other founders, because most of the founders are not technical. they find a technical person or co-founder later. So it's really hard for them to even communicate what they are trying to do. And we help them basically put their idea in something that's palpable, that can be developed, that can be an MVP where they can test and show to investors. And this is a way that's hard, but we try to help the founders do that. And even sometimes with a lot of hours of really trying to dig and to make them dig to their own solution. But that's very fulfilling in the end when they completely understand and reformulate their business model or even their idea into something that an engineering team can pick and develop.
So your work actually starts before the development itself.
Yeah.
Yeah. You discuss the idea, you discuss the business case with the startup founder, you formulate a solution, which, I mean, being an entrepreneur on my own, I know what you mean. You know, we always have ideas, and then it takes some time and some reflection to funnel this idea in something tangible. Yeah. And in your case, it's the software product, it's the MVP. But often a founder, he's so into the topic that he needs someone else to help him reflect and to help him narrow down this often wild idea into something tangible, something which can be developed. So this is the first step of the development process. You're not just a coding institute, so to say, providing business advice and helping them nail down this problem.
Exactly. We normally come before development. It doesn't happen every time, but it mostly happens this way. So we are really a partner in a couple 1 to 2 months when they are basically try to trim down their idea. And then we came as their engineering partner as well. So we can be before the development itself. So we don't consider ourselves only a dev shop. We try to be a little more than that, than just guys that are doing some cool codes. We try to be really helpful in that sense of really bringing ideas to life.
I guess this is the added value you bring to the table, because otherwise the world is full of developers, offshore developers, and they probably can operate on a much lower price. But adding this kind of value is amazing, I think.
It's because of we are still a small software house. We are growing, of course, but we don't want to be like 1,000 guys software house, because it really goes a bit after what we are looking for. We really want to work directly with the founders, with their engineering team, and truly understand their business. That is difficult to be done with big teams. So that was a really thoughtful process that we do basically every day with our team. That's where is the way that we want to go, and we are all aligned, and that was a business choice of ours.
And for everyone who's listening now to the show, what kind of industries you are specialized in? What kind of startups you most like working with?
That's a fun question, because that's a thing that I like, not by business, but because of personal taste. But in the business, it happened basically not by chance, but by referrals and by friends. We are mostly working in the fintech area with prop tech companies, with crowdfunding companies, and with investment companies. And it started with one client, and it just scales and scales. And now we basically only work that area, but it was not by choice. It really happened. So it's really fun to see an area that I had personal taste, and a couple of our engineers had personal taste as well, but it happened. So it is really cool.
Often it's a small coincidence. I was working as an IT consultant back when I was still a student. And I remember exactly the time when I was shopping in a supermarket and my mobile rang. And there was an agency looking for someone who could work in a certain project. And if I wouldn't have picked up the phone by then, they probably would have called someone else. Yeah? But I picked up the phone, I started the project. And out of this initial project, I founded my first company, which I run for 22 years, having over 20 employees and big seven-figure business, just by the small coincidence. I know exactly what you mean, that sometimes life is just happening for you and small things pile up and you go in a certain direction which you never imagined or never planned, but it's working out well. And as you said, it's growing, so it's amazing.
Yeah.
Small things. So fintech. And when you look at the founders you're working with, are these first-time founders or serial entrepreneurs? How much experience do they have? And what are the primary product ideas they're developing?
Probably I would say 50-50, so 50% first-time founders and 50% seasoned founders. And the way that we work with both of them is very different. So a first-time founder has a lot more doubts. It lacks a lot of more clarity, even in the way that they communicate with us. So in terms of work for us to try to understand really what they are looking for, it's harder. Seasoned founders already went through some probably internal processes and also business process, so they understand a couple of things. So they are a bit way in terms of the curve and the way they communicate. So that's probably the biggest difference between them. So we work with both of them. I would say 50-50 of our clients are first times and the other 50 are seasoned founders.
Oh, well, I can understand that when you are first time founder, of course, you need more clarity. You are uncertain what this whole venture will bring to you. Being in business for 25 years on my own, I mean, having all these ups and downs. Sometimes if I think, hey, if I would know what's happening, you know, would I really start?
Yeah.
But yes, I would start. It's the most amazing way of living for me, being an entrepreneur and trying new things. And also failing sometimes, but out of every failure, at least you learn and often something else develops, which is even more beautiful. Tell us a little bit about your background. You studied technical topic.
In the university, I studied telecommunications and informatics. I didn't like the telecommunications part, so I tried to go in a software route. I have a master's degree, so my master's thesis was about Wi-Fi fingerprinting. So we basically used Wi-Fi to understand where people are positioned in indoor environments. So that's you have a lot of possible things that you can build. Imagine that you are walking in a mall and you have some publicity, and by having your Wi-Fi on, you can have, for example, an outdoor just for you, like saying, hey Sebastian, the Nike shoes you looked last week are in promotion just for you, 10%. In terms of advertising and personalized insights, this is huge. Even in terms of identifying people indoor, for example, imagine an airport and you want to give personalized pathways to the people because you already know what is the gate where the dead people will go to. And you can send it, for example, an SMS with a link. People open the link and you have a map just for you from the start of the airport and to the gate that will board into an airplane. So in the future, I'm seeing a lot of things that can be used with Wi-Fi fingerprinting. And because of that knowledge, I went to, as a research engineer, in a partnership between university and Bosch. So I've worked with autonomous vehicles and stuff like that on Bosch. Then my first job, this I will call it more research and R&D stuff. First job was with a NASDAQ-quoted company where I worked in an application that was about with security, but I also had a lot of bit of positioning and controlling mobile applications and so on. And then I went to Software House, and after that I founded WiseVerge. So it was a short path in terms of working for other companies before I founded WiseVerge.
Coming back to this Wi-Fi fingerprinting, I mean, it's very interesting technology, also a bit scary, actually, when you imagine, okay, they track you everywhere you go. Do you need to be connected to the Wi-Fi, or does it work just by putting yourself in an area with different Wi-Fi networks?
It works just putting yourself in your area. It is harder to do, but it's possible.
Interesting. So you better turn off your Wi-Fi when you don't want to be tracked.
Yeah, but some operators are also providing their own data. So you can basically even use the triangulation between the network antennas to try to understand your position. Of course, you have a lot more error, but we develop a lot of algorithms where you can basically use a lot of triangulation points to understand the positioning with more accuracy. Imagine that a Wi-Fi environment changes basically by the minute. If other person enters in your room right now where you are, Sebastian, the Wi-Fi heat map will change significantly. If you access, for example, another device, it can change the environment. So you have to really have algorithms that are dynamic and to understand where you are positioning in a room. And for example, if you have a wall in 1 meter, if you have an accuracy of 2 meters, and if you are trying to understand when each wall, each room you are, you can be in the room next to you, not in the room that you actually are. So this is a really complex problem to solve, and there aren't very good solutions. We were able to basically have an accuracy of a couple of meters, so that's really good when you don't control an environment. You can go further, and there are already some literature of trying to trim down this accuracy error, but it's a really tough problem because of the environment shifts and the waves that are in the air.
But still, as you said, for an airport, for giving them guidance where to go, or for big shopping malls, when you pass a shop, then you get a specialized offer on your phone. Certainly a lot of interesting use cases.
Yeah, totally. And a lot of money to be made in that area. I think there are companies that are already working on that. I can't remember any by heart, but I know there are companies working on that area.
I was on it at an investor pitch two years ago, and a company was actually specialized on offering advertising solutions to people passing by on certain shops. I guess this is...
So probably they are using Wi-Fi or Bluetooth. Bluetooth is tougher because most people have Wi-Fi on, Bluetooth not so much. But it can also be solved. But there are different ways to solve the problem. Bluetooth, you need more proximity. You need to have physical objects beside the routers to really pinpoint where the people are. And Wi-Fi, you just have the routers and multiple routers, and you do algorithms to understand where the device is and does the person.
I guess we have to be careful not to too much get into tech talk here. And what are you guys talking about? So maybe switch off. No, let's focus on your organization. You're growing this organization, and you said you have huge plans, basically doubling your workforce in the next months. With every grow comes pain. When you look at your organization, I mean, everyone who's here on this show is actually quite open. What is your biggest pain point? Focus on your organization and growing it.
We are trying to be very organized from the beginning. And this means that we have a lot of SOPs that are not hard, neither enforcement, but allow us to work more asynchronously with the team. For example, if they have doubts what is the company vacation policy, we have a place where they can go very fast and check the vacation policy. Of course, if they need for other reason to have the next day or something, can always talk to us and we can sure find a solution for that. But in terms of the organization, we try to have that basis and the foundation from the beginning because it's easier to manage it to grow. So we have a foundation that is what it is. It was what we've made. We can also work on it, but it's already in a nice place where we can add people and people won't feel that they don't know what's happening. They don't know what is the culture. They don't know what will work, what we worked in the past. We have everything well written in documentation. We use Notion for that so far. We are finding a very powerful tool for our organization. In terms of pain, I would say hiring. Hiring is the pain right now. The market is a bit crazy. And even if we are a cool company, we are still a small company. And sometimes people have fear of change and to accept offers. Even if they will probably earn more money, they have fear to change and to believe. That's right now our biggest pain point. It's really the hiring part.
I understand. Have you ever thought about hiring remote people from other areas of the world?
We've thought about doing that, but now as a business strategy for us, makes sense to hire people that are working in Portugal. The nationality and the language doesn't matter for us. In Portugal, our normal English level is quite good, so we can understand each other perfectly. So in terms of business, it makes sense for us to hire people that are working in Portugal to have more relationship with our authorities because we can have European funding, for example, and Portuguese funding. And that's basically a business strategy that we are following, at least until we get a couple of more people in the company before we're thinking about adding like remote from other countries to the team. But we work with freelancers quite often. So that happens with some regularity, but they are not like hired to Wiseverse.
And how do you manage it personally? I mean, growing a business, having many topics on your mind every day, focusing on client, focusing on staff. What are your personal success habits?
So that's also something that had to grow while the company was growing. I was really a brainstorm crazy guy that goes to a room and find solutions for problems. I didn't have the organization that is needed to build a big business. So I had to do a lot of learning, a lot of introspection to understand what I needed to change to be able to operate in both ways. So I didn't want to lose the ideas and the complex problem solution skills, but I had to really brush up my management skills and organization skills. So that's what I started to do. Like, my calendar is a bit sacred. I try to have hours of deep work every day. In the recent months, I even start meditation. It has been a fun ride. It's really helped us to focus. So it's not a cliche of something. You can really move the needle meditating. And that's probably the top three, I would say. It's your calendar is sacred. Try to have 3 hours of deep work every day and add meditation. And of course, you should exercise. But that I would, you know, even talk about it because I think it's something that we all should do a couple of hours every week to make our bodies function better.
We all should do, but not everyone is doing it. And sometimes the simplest tips are the most important ones.
And what about you, Sebastian? What habits do you have that helped you?
I actually also meditate. I meditate every morning for 20 minutes and I try to put in a meditation session before I go home, which is not always working for me, but the morning is sacred. I exercise as well. I turn one room of my office into a little gym where I also can do some workout during lunchtime, for example. My calendar is also guarded. So I have clear blocks for certain activities. So I have, when I do recording, I have certain time slots available for people to come in the show. The rest of the calendar is reserved for other activities. I have a Monday planning session where I sit down for an hour at least and plan my week ahead. I look at all aspects of my life, not only my business, also my personal life, because if I'm not happy in my personal life, then of course my business will also suffer. So I have a more like an holistic approach where I look at all aspects or 7-8 aspects of my life and see, okay, what can I do this week to basically support this area of my life? Maybe an area which I haven't spent much time in the last weeks, and I intentionally say, okay, this time, this week, I need to focus on that, be it spending time with your kids, be it learning a new skill, a new topic, or just spending time with friends I have met for a while. And for me, it's always important that I schedule also private activities, put it in my calendar, because what is not scheduled often doesn't happen. You know, something else comes in, and then the idea is...
You always postpone.
Exactly. Always postpone. Yeah. And I'm a mentor for CEOs, but I also have a mentor. So I also work with a mentor and discuss topic, and he helps me to grow. So yes, these are various things I also do on a regular basis. But I'm also human. I'm also learning and improving. And the goal is always to become a little bit better every day.
It's an exponential, right? It's like this.
Yes. Exactly. Constant growth. Constant. I always say, constant and never ending improvement. As long as you constantly do something to become better, hey, then you're on the right track.
Yeah. Totally.
Ricardo, thank you so much for your time. It was an amazing conversation. And you have a great business model, and I'm sure you offer a lot of value to startups in different stages. And especially startups who have an idea and they want to develop a solution, but this idea is so big and need someone to really focus it, narrow it down to a solution which is developable, but also sellable, you know, something which people want. And this is one of the biggest challenges most entrepreneurs often have, that they think they have a solution, but, well, the world often has a different opinion. So we have to bring these two places together, and I'm sure you do an amazing job with your company and your team. Thank you so much for your time, and I'm sure we speak soon.
Thank you, Sebastian. You are glad to be here.
Hey, this has been the High Performance CEO Podcast. Join us again next week for more winning strategies and leadership habits from high-performing CEOs worldwide. If you have any questions or feedback on today's episode or would like to be a guest on my show, email us at success@sebastianschicke.com. We would love to hear from you. I'm Sebastian Schicke. Thank you for listening.